Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. Often imitated, never duplicated. Let's get to the docket. First, the district attorney dismisses cases against Lori and Chad Daybell. Second, Harvey gets a bit of a win at his preliminary hearing in California. An ex-cardinal charged for a case back in 1974. A boyfriend arrested in a gruesome case. Mom charged in that Oklahoma case regarding the 12-year-old who got pregnant. An update on a home castration doctor wannabe. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button and don't forget to hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. All right. Yes, we're back in the Crime Talk studio, back from Cabo. It was an interesting trip to say the least. All right, but let's get straight to the docket. First, the district attorney, Rob Wood, dismisses cases against Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. What are you talking about, Scott? Why would he dismiss cases? Well, in cases CR22-20-0755 and CR22-20-0838, those cases are dismissed without prejudice. So the cases that were dismissed by attorney Rob Wood were the two charges of conspiracy to destroy, alter, or conceal evidence. Those were dismissed against both Lori and Chad. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean they're not going to bring up that evidence in the homicide trials? No. Well, the other thing we have to consider is the charges were dismissed without prejudice. Now, in the legal world, there's a term with prejudice and without prejudice. If something is dismissed with prejudice, that means it's never going to be refiled. You're forever giving up your opportunity to file those cases. Normally, that term is used in civil cases. Now, the district attorney can dismiss a case without prejudice at any time. That simply means that they reserve the right to refile the case if they choose to do so in the future. Well, there's still a bar on that. It's called the statute of limitations. So the prosecution can still refile the case if it is in the period which is prescribed by the statute of limitations in that particular state. Now, the next question is, will this evidence still be able to come in the homicide trials? Absolutely, yes, it will. I'm a little surprised the district attorney simply did not move to join those charges together so that you get the charges as kind of a backup in case there's issues with the homicide trial. However, like we talked about the other day on our live program, hey, the best thing the prosecutor can do is keep it simple. And when you start trying to prove stuff that frankly is going to be maybe a little difficult to prove, that when did it get there? Who did it? How did they get the children there? You have to start proving knowledge, and they can start blaming then Alex Cox, the brother of Lori Vallow, who I think most people believe actually committed the homicides. The district attorney will still be able to present the evidence as it is referred to as what they call res justi evidence, okay? There's a difference between 404B evidence, which is evidence of other crimes, wrongs, or misconduct, where the prosecution has to say, bring this in for this limited purpose. Res justi evidence is evidence that is so intertwined into the case, although it is a separate charge and maybe not charged, it still comes in to basically tell the whole story. So I get why the prosecution did it. Trying to keep it simple makes sense, but a lot of people were making a big deal about this on the internet yesterday, and the reality of it is it's not that big of a deal. Obviously, if Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell are ultimately convicted at trial, they are looking at spending the rest of their life in prison versus a paltry 12 years on these particular charges. So we'll see how things shake out, whether it was a good tactical move or whether the prosecution made a mistake. I think they made the right choice. On another housekeeping matter, the attorney who's been hired as a special counsel, Rachel Smith, she has been admitted pro hoc vice and can now appear on the homicide cases. It was sort of a formality, but the judge granted that order dated July 29th. What I thought was a little interesting was there was an order sealing the state's response to an objection to the entry of counsel and for a finding of a conflict. Well, that motion that was filed, obviously, by the defense in that particular case has not been filed and made publicly available. So I'm curious as to the issue as to why they're objecting to the appearance of counsel. Is it specifically Rob Wood as counsel, or is it Rachel Smith, the special prosecutor that's being admitted pro hoc vice because she's only licensed in the state of Missouri, and now she's being allowed to practice on a limited basis to specific cases in the state of Idaho? Well, the response has been sealed. Unclear why, and the defense motion has never been made public. So I've said this before and I'll say it again. These are public records. We, the public, should be allowed to see all the filings in this particular case. I'm not sure why, under these local rules, an objection to a prosecutor would require sealing of records at all. Maybe one day we'll find out. So much, though, for an open proceeding. Next on the docket, that guy named Harvey. That's right, that former movie mogul. He has all those charges out in California. Well, he had a preliminary hearing yesterday. And what happened? Well, the judge, Judge Lisa B. Lynch, threw out one of the charges on the grounds of it violated the statute of limitations. Now, the prosecutors stated that they will simply refile and amend the indictment, and the case will then go forward. However, the defense is saying that this was obviously a significant event, and it was the crux of a lot of arguments as it relates to the case in New York. And so a lot of states have amended their statute of limitations on charges of this nature. I can tell you, for example, in Colorado, these charges used to have a statute of limitations of, at one point, it was 3 years. Then they changed it to 10 years. And now it's unlimited. There is no statute of limitations. And normally, there's no statute of limitations on homicides. Now, no statute of limitations on sexual assault. And the other one that most people don't know about is forgery. There's usually no statute of limitations on forgeries because, well, people tend to conceal it. And so you don't know when it will come about. Was it on, you know, title papers to property or some sort of check? Until you know, you have to have knowledge of it. So we'll see if that guy named Harvey has any further success. Obviously, it's going to be a hard-fought case, as well as should be. When you're looking at spending the rest of your life in prison, you have one thing to do, and that is to fight. You have nothing to lose. Now, next on the docket, a former cardinal is charged with a case going back to 1974. And now we're not talking a former cardinal as in a baseball player. We are talking about former cardinal Theodore McCarrick. He has been charged with assaulting a young boy back in 1974 in Massachusetts. Now, like we just talked about, normally, the statute of limitations would have run. Why was this possible in this particular case? Let me tell you why. In most states, there is a pause on the statute of limitations if the state can show that the defendant left the state. So it stops. It tolls the statute of limitations from the date the defendant left the state. In this particular case, the prosecutors were able to show, or will attempt to show, that since the cardinal left the state and had not returned, that the statute of limitations did not start to tick. Otherwise, this case would be barred by the statute of limitations. Now, Cardinal McCarrick, he's getting up there in years. He's 91, but he probably doesn't want to spend his last days in prison. But he was at one point one of the most powerful men in the Catholic Church for decades, but he was removed from the church in 2018 because of allegations that the church found to be credible. He was defrocked a year later for alleged conduct in regards to seminary students. These allegations involve allegations made at a wedding that he was presiding over, and then, as we said, left the state, hence the statute of limitations has been told. So lots of little nuances in the law there, ladies and gentlemen. This is a good example of that case. All right, let's take a quick recess before we continue on with the docket and a case about a known spousal abuser who did a terrible, gruesome thing to his girlfriend. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. All right, next on the docket, have somewhat of a gruesome case. So if there's small children in the room, cover their ears. A woman by the name of America Mafalda Thayer was found and pronounced dead on a street on 4th Avenue and Spencer Street in Shakopee, Minnesota on Thursday. Now, what's sad about this particular case is that the boyfriend, a known domestic abuser by the name of Alexis Saborit, S-A-B-O-R-I-T, was arrested on the count of second-degree murder in connection with Miss Thayer's death. The police believe that the death of Miss Thayer was not a random act and that the two had been in a long-term relationship. What is disturbing about this is when police responded to the scene where they thought that a victim was there as a result of a stab wound, they found the 55-year-old Miss Thayer, and she did in fact suffer stab wounds. But what they also found was that the boyfriend had decapitated her and put her head next to her body. That's right. No motive yet. Mr. Saborit did not make a statement to the police. Obviously, we'll give him the presumption of innocence. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, you need to check people out, okay? Go to crimetalksearch.com. I'm telling you, it is the best thing you can possibly do. If you're dating someone and haven't checked them out, guess what? You're committing dating malpractice. If you're not going to do it for yourself, do it for a friend. Check somebody out if you don't think there's something right about somebody that they're dating. Check and see. Check and see if they have a history of domestic abuse. Check it out, right? Past performance is indicative of future results. Next on the docket, a quick update regarding the case that we discussed last week, where a 24-year-old man was arrested at the hospital when he took his young girlfriend, who just happened to be the age of 12, there to deliver a child. Yes, that's wrong and illegal anywhere you go. Well, now the mother, Desiree Castaneda, has been charged with enabling child abuse and child neglect. I think a very appropriate charge. Why anyone would knowingly allow their child, who's 12, to date a 24-year-old? Well, that's certainly a parental malpractice and no doubt a crime if you're allowing them to engage in a sexual relationship. Now, once again, we'll give Ms. Castaneda that presumption of innocence, but if they can show, they being the prosecutor, can show that she knew that these two were engaging in this conduct, yes, she should be found guilty. All right, an update on a case that we brought you a while back. Do you recall the case of Gary Van Rysick? 76, does that ring a bell to you? Huh, what if I tell you this? That's right, he was performing a castration at home and things didn't go bad. Now, let's not confuse him with the gentleman that was doing this in Oklahoma. Mr. Rysick, we brought you the story. He was doing this at his home in Florida. Things didn't quite work out so well. Kind of blamed the whole thing on some poor lighting. You know how it goes. Haven't we all been there when performing home surgeries on other people? No, we haven't, because we go to the doctor. We don't want to be a doctor wannabe. There are things that they teach you in medical school that you cannot learn on the internet. So Mr. Rysick, who was looking at 15 years in prison, well, he got a plea deal. He's only going to do 3 years in the Department of Corrections for his home surgery techniques that need a little honing before he resumes surgical procedures yet again. Let's hope, as a condition of his parole, that he can't have access to those tools to continue to do home surgeries. Can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Please meet Emmanuel Luna, 56. Well, he pled guilty and he ultimately got sentenced to 46 months in federal prison. Now, how did he get what he deserves in this particular case? Well, he tried to rob a bank. And let me give you some advice, okay? And I'm not telling people to go rob a bank, but do not threaten the teller, for example, to blow them up like Mr. Luna did in this particular situation. It bumps up your criminal history points. Now, Mr. Luna's note was nice enough. It basically said, press the button and basically it'll kill us all, so just give me $50,000 because nobody wants to die over $50,000. The teller began to cry. She activated the alarm, called the manager. Then Mr. Luna became scared and wheeled himself out of the bank. That's right, wheeled himself out of the bank. Of course, it's a new era. People didn't pursue him, apparently. The police, through video surveillance, saw that Mr. Luna had abandoned his wheelchair, got on a bus, and through some more surveillance, they were able to say that Mr. Luna was, in fact, the same guy. Now, what did Mr. Luna say in court? That's right. He said, wow, this was a really stupid crime. He said it was inconceivable that he thought he would actually get away with it. That, Mr. Luna, is why you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Bank robberies have to be one of the most solved crimes ever. Why? Because we're usually talking about money and banks don't like to be robbed and the feds got a lot of resources to hunt you down. So Mr. Luna, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day, realizing that what you did was stupid and yes, you were not going to get away with it. All right, let's do a quick recap of this week's dumb criminal. First, we had Tuesday. We had two dumb criminals. We had the unidentified tough guy who was trying to show everybody how he was going to holster his new firearm and accidentally shot himself. That's pretty stupid. Then we had Heaven Shank. That's right. That was the correctional officer who was having sexual relations with inmates and got caught. And oh, that's right, pregnant as well. Then we had Glenn Hutchinson, who attacked his neighbor at a rehabilitation center with a cane over a dispute regarding what should be watched on TV. And then, of course, today, Mr. Luna, our dumb criminal contestants. Vote below. Let us know. We'll announce the winner next week. And the winner will receive, that's right, a Crime Talk mug. We'll send it to them. They don't have to steal anything. Hopefully they won't hit anyone over the head. And guess what? It's so convenient. You never have to holster it. You just hold it there by the little handle. We've got everybody covered if they're the winners. All right. Thanks for watching. Appreciate you sticking with us throughout the week. We're back. We'll have regular shows throughout the week. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.